And as always, you can always, there's always an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. How many know you can't be God-given? Amen? So if you have your tithes or your offerings, you can give those in the appropriate place in the back there, and that'll be great. Well, I want to talk to you about something different tonight. And I want to talk to you about steps to freedom. You know, imagine if you were free in every area of life. You know, I'm going to give you some simple steps tonight that will bring about freedom in your life, true freedom. You know, freedom is important. We like our freedom, okay? And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to begin. Anytime that we get together and hear the Word of God, God is going to do something. Because everything that He does in this earth is in accordance with His Word. And whenever His Word is going forth, the Holy Spirit is there because He's the author of the Word. And good things are going to happen. So we're going to learn three simple steps that we can take to get to a place where we can experience freedom and be free indeed in every area of life. And in John chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 14. And I'm just going to point out something here. It says, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he said this, he said, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true." And I want you to pay attention to this phrase, "For I know where I came from and where I am going." How many know that Jesus knew who he was? He was confident in who he was. And him being confident in who he was and what he was called to do, that gave him freedom to do and be all that God wanted him to be. Okay? And so he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. So when you know where you're going, if someone offers you an alternative destination, say, you know, here, you can stop at this place. It looks good. It feels good. But you know where you're going. So you know that you're not going to stop there. Or if you do, you're just going to give it a glance or a visit. Because knowing where you're going sets your life free on its course. That means you can avoid some things of where you want to be. When you know where you're going, you can avoid some things along the way. Amen? So that produces a freedom in you. And go down to verse 28. Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." What authority did Jesus speak on? He learned from His Father. He did His Father's teaching. He knew what His Father taught so well that He could communicate it to others. He was free in what His Father taught Him. Okay? And it's going to bring us to our main point here. Let's look at verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him." If, everybody say if. Whenever the Bible says if, that means it's telling you that there's some things that you've got to do in order to reap the promise that He's giving. "If you continue in my word," some translations may say abide, "if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Can you say amen? So there are steps to get to becoming free. All right? Three simple steps. You must abide. You must know, and it all must be connected to the truth. Abide and know and the truth, and together and combined, it will produce a divine freedom in every area that you apply these steps to. If you continue in my word, that word is abide. What does it mean to abide somewhere? It means to stay in a given place, to stay in a given place, state, relation, or experience. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? Everybody here is born again. So you have got to make a decision that you're going to stay with Him no matter what. And if someone comes at you with a false religion or another way, you're going to know that you're going to continue. If you want to be a true disciple, you've got to continue with what you started. Okay? You've got to abide. You've got to remain. You've got to stay. Okay? And let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And there's two keys to abiding, really. It's being filled up with His Word and acting like Him. If you're not acting like Jesus, you're not abiding in Him. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. How many know that God's concerned about fruitfulness, productivity, effectiveness? You are now clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me. Who are you to abide in? Your preacher, right? Your family, right? Where faith is concerned, the only thing that you are to abide in is Him. When faith is concerned, abide in me and I in you. Notice, if we don't abide in Him, it sounds like He's not abiding in us. Because He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Why do we need to abide in Him? Because we need Him. We cannot bear fruit. We cannot be productive. We cannot be effective apart from Him. Even Jesus couldn't be effective apart from the Father. He said, I did not come to do this on my own. He did not come to be the sacrificial lamb on His own. He needed the Father's help. He needed to abide in the Father so that the Father could abide in Him so that He could accomplish what He was sent to do. Very key. You want to fulfill your destiny? Abide in Him. Okay? Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Did you know that you and God are a majority? 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but what? It shall not come near you. Why? Because when you're abiding in Him, you and God are a majority. It may feel like there's a mountain in your way, but when you abide in God, you and Him are a majority. You have mountain-moving power. I'm telling you, there is awesome things happen when we connect with God. It's when we don't connect with God that things don't happen like we want them to. Okay? If a man abide not in me, notice abiding is a choice. It's a decision that each one of us have to make. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. See, when something's burned, it's not producing much, but a lot of hot air. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. So two things are connected with abiding: fruitfulness and prayer. You want to be effective in life? You want to be effective in your prayer? Then you got to abide in Him. You got to stay fixed in Christ. You got to get your position. You got to know who you are in Christ and not depart from it, not turn from it. You got to continue in it daily. Everybody say daily. Oh, yeah. I've been doing that Christian thing. I did that Christian thing last week. What'd you do the rest of the week? That's not abiding. Abiding is something that has to happen every day. Okay? You got to abide in Him. All right, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, 13. Let's look at some things that explain this. Matthew 25, 13. Oh, I mean, sorry, 24. Thank you. 24:13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. To abide means to stand firm to the end. If you start something, finish it. If you start a chapter, finish the chapter. Amen? If you start a book, finish the book. All right? If you start living for Christ, keep living for Christ. There's going to be lots of opportunities to quit. There's going to be lots of opportunities to turn back. But you know what? You stay with Him. You stay with Him. You stay with Him, and you're going to see His power. You're going to experience His blessing. You're going to experience His goodness. You've got to stay with Him. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, stay with Him. It's like a doctor saying, stay with me now. Stay with me. So, abiding means to stand firm to the end. John chapter 6. As if you didn't know, we are going to look at a lot of scriptures tonight. Surprise, surprise. John 6, 68 and 69. Jesus had just asked His disciples, are you going to go away also? And then Simon Peter in 68 said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure, say sure, that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So to abide means where else are you going to go? There's no other person that has the words of eternal life than Jesus. There is no other way to heaven than Jesus. There is no other way to experience God's goodness other than going through Christ. Okay? Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Romans 2, 7. It says, to them, he's talking about whether we get rewards or punishments. And he says this in verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So to abide means to be persistent until the end. You know what persistence is? You keep at it until you get it. Jacob was persistent when he wrestled with God. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. If I got to wrestle all night, if I've got to pray all night, if I've got to study all night, I'm not going to let this go, God, until I see the results. That's what persistence is. Persistence is giving a steak bone to a dog. Give a dog a bone from a T-bone steak and then try to get it away from him. That dog will growl. That dog will show its teeth. That dog will get a grip on that bone. It's going to be tough. That's how we need to be. That's persistence. You stick with it, you stick with it, you stick with it until you get it. Amen? That's how we got to be. You need a healing in your body? You stick with healing scriptures. You stick with healing scriptures. You stick with healing scriptures until you get the healing. Until you know in your body that the power of God has been operating. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she knew that something happened in her. We got to be persistent. Okay? Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith, how? Grounded and settled. To abide means to be established, to be firm, to be unmovable. You got to be unmovable when it comes to the promises of God. What if Abraham would have let go in the 23rd year from when God gave him the promise? Isaac wouldn't have been born because it took 25 years. God, it's been a long time and I haven't seen this come to pass. Keep holding. Keep holding. Don't let go of the promise. Don't trade it in. Don't let your feelings override what God said. You got to fight to hang in there. You got to be firm. You got to be grounded. What's going to happen to an electrical appliance that's not properly grounded? Is it going to work? If you're not grounded, the current is not going to get to where it needs to be. So you got to be grounded. When you're having trouble in your life, and you think that you can do it on your own, you don't come to the church, you don't call your brother or your sister and say you're struggling with it, you're trying to do with it on your own, guess what? You're not abiding. When you try to do things on your own, you're not abiding in God, because even Jesus didn't do it on his own. Even Jesus had 12 disciples around him. Why? Because he couldn't fulfill the Great Commission on his own. He needed multiplication. The more people you have helping you, the greater your effect. And then go to Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Why would you need to encourage someone to go continue in the faith if there wasn't possibilities of not continuing? Listen, distractions of life come up. Life can try to distract you from eternal things. So Paul and Barnabas went around encouraging, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. Guess what? You've got to abide even when it seems hard. Oh, Pastor, it's just too hard to believe God. Suck it up. You think your hardship is as hard as the cross? Huh? Yeah, it might be hard. But where does your strength come from? Let the weak say I'm what? Let the weak say I'm what? So if you're feeling weak, you ought to be saying you're strong. Not I'm weak. It doesn't take any faith to say you're weak. But when weakness comes, you can override your weakness with his strength by saying I'm strong. See, it doesn't make any physical sense to say you're strong when you're weak. What makes sense is to say what our body feels. Because we feel it, that's what we ought to say. But guess what? That's not how faith operates. When you're saying you're weak because you feel weak, you are abiding in your senses, not the word. When you say I can't do it when God says you could, you're abiding in your own limitation. And you're not abiding in the word. And that's why there's no power there to make it happen. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want to show you something. I want you to look at verse 19. Jesus had come to the area of the Gadarenes. And as soon as his boat pulled up on the shore, a demon-possessed man met him and worshiped him. And he cast the devils out of him. There were so many of them, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Don't know how many devils were in there. But you know what? There was about 2,000 pigs that were there. When Jesus cast the devil out of the devils or the demons out, okay, so here's what happened to this man. Now watch verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He said, "I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to be with you." Jesus said, "No." He said, "Go home to your friends. Tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you." Verse 20. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Decapolis is probably how many cities? 10 for Deca. Okay? Now I want you to notice verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again, say over again, he came to the same area after the man who was possessed went and shared his testimony. Okay? Notice what happens in 23. And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. I want you to notice that Jairus probably heard the testimony of this possessed man. And he heard that what good things God did to this man who was possessed. He heard how God had compassion on him. And guess what? He abided in that word. He didn't abide in the man who was possessed. He abided in the word that he shared. I want to show you, because his first reaction when he saw Jesus was the same reaction that the man who was possessed when he saw Jesus, he came and worshiped him. So that tells me he must have heard that man's story. And something about that story triggered something on the inside of him, and he abided in that story until Jesus showed up. And he said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come and lay your hands on her that she maybe might be healed." Shall, right? He didn't say hope. He didn't say maybe. He said shall be healed. That tells me that he's abiding in the word. Because when you abide in the word, you're going to speak in a confident way. Your words are going to speak with authority and power. When you're abiding in the word, you're going to sound just like Jesus. If Jesus was right there saying the words, you're going to sound just like him. That's what it means to abide. When you make a copy from a master, and if that master has a scratch on it, guess what? That scratch or that whatever will be transferred to the copy. But if you have a good master, guess what? The good information is going to be transferred to the copy, and it's going to sound just like the master. Amen? Are we good copies or what? If we're good copies, we've been abiding in the master, and we're going to sound like the master. We're going to look like the master. Come and lay your hands on my daughter, so and she shall live. He was abiding. How do we know? Jesus went with him. What pleases God? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we know that Jesus was pleased because he was willing to go with him. Jesus was pleased with what he said. Jesus was attracted to what he said. That tells me he was abiding in the word. Because Jesus went right with him. because Jesus follows faith. Amen? Ha-ha. And much people followed him, okay? Now, there came a woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, spent all of her money, went to many doctors, but one day she heard the testimony of this man who was possessed, because this is the same area, because the Bible said he went back over again to this area. And he had told the man who was possessed to go and share his testimony of how good God was and how he had compassion on him. And the woman who dealt with this issue for 12 years, she was like, what's going on? Why can't I get my miracle? And all of a sudden, she heard this man speaking, sharing his testimony of how Jesus had compassion on him. How do I know she was abiding? Because she acted in the word. Notice. Certain woman, verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things and many physicians, spent all that she had, nothing bettered, but grew worse. Verse 27, when she had what? Heard of who? She heard the testimony and she abided in what she heard. How do we know? Because she acted on what she heard. She heard of Jesus. It didn't say she heard of the madman. It said that she heard of Jesus. And something on the inside of her clicked. She said, I can get a miracle. I can get my needs. But if he did that for the possessed man, imagine what he can do for me. When she had heard of Jesus, or she heard the word about Jesus, she abided in that word. Huh. She came in the press behind him and touched his clothes. Why? She said, if I may touch his clothes, I might be made whole. What did she say? I shall. I will. She spoke with confidence. She spoke with expectation. She knew that if she touched him, it couldn't go any other way. That tells me that she was abiding in the word, and the word was abiding in her. Why? Because she produced results. When you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, what? And it shall be done. It will produce results. Abiding produces results. If you're not getting the results you desired, check about how you're abiding. Ask yourself, am I really abiding in him? Or am I abiding in the opinion of others? Am I abiding in my feelings? Am I abiding in something else other than him? If you're abiding in something else other than him, there's not going to be any power there and no fruit will be produced. Does that make sense? She could have quit. You've been dealing with something for 12 years. You tried everything that you know to do, and still nothing's bettered. Why? Because she didn't make the right connection. Are doctors bad? No. Say, doctors are not bad. But they just were not the right connection for her. The right connection was the doctor, Jesus, the great physician. And once she connected with the great physician, power was released to produce fruit in her body that cured that infirmity or that issue. Huh. So she said, I'm going to touch his clothes and I shall be made whole. She touched his clothes and what happened? She was made whole. Verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. So that tells me that she was abiding in the word. Because if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, what, and it shall be done. Say, shall be done. Abiding is the key to get the job done. And he tells her, what brought her healing in verse 34? Look at verse 34, and you tell me what brought her healing. Okay? She didn't get healed by the power of God, did she? Does it say the power of God healed her? No. It was her faith. And where should our faith be? In who? In him. Have faith in God. Mark 11, 20. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or the faith that comes from God. Put your faith in God. Okay? And it was that faith, it was her faith that brought about her healing. And then he made her whole. He said, be whole of your plague. So any damage that was done was restored 100%. Can you say amen? Oh yeah, the blood stopped, but any damage that might have been done when she was made whole, that was gone. See the power of abiding? I haven't even gotten to knowing the truth yet. We're still on abiding. She persevered. Okay? Remember, to abide means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. When you got a problem in your body, and if all you had to rely on is by his stripes, I'm healed, then every discussion concerning your sickness ought to be about by his stripes, I'm healed. There should be no discussion about what you feel, because what you feel is not going to produce any results. What you feel is just information. But what's going to change how you feel? The word. So don't abide in your feelings. Abide in the word. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. If you're abiding, it's going to be in your heart, and if it's in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. What you abide in, what you're abiding in is revealed by what you say. What you abide in is revealed by what you say. You talk about your pain and your sickness all the time, then you're abiding in your feelings. Yeah, the pain is real. So was God's word, which operates on a higher plane, your feelings or his word. So we got to elevate the word, and we got to abide in it. Do you understand? Am I making sense? Isn't that funny? I talk about not abiding your feelings, and I say, am I making sense? Am I building faith? Am I building faith? Go back with me to John chapter 8. I want you to see something here. Look at verse 37. He was talking to people who had a religious mindset. And he said to the Pharisees in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Wow. So let me ask you this question. What kind of place does God's word have in you? What kind of value do you put on God's word? Do you give it the highest place or the lowest place? First place, second place, third place? What place does the word of God have in you? For the Pharisees, it had no place in them. He said, my word has no place in you. In other words, these religious people, if you were to look at the Pharisees, you would say, whoo, man, those Pharisees, they got it going on. They look good. Look, they got, no, I don't care how you look, but if the word has no place in you, they didn't give it place. You know what they put above the word? Traditions of men. The Bible tells us that the Pharisees loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They would rather look good for people. And when they got a reward, when a Pharisee did something, he did it in front of people so that people could see. And they went like this, good job, good job. Guess what? The Bible says that was their reward. Listen, I want more than just a pat on the back. I want to produce fruit for God's kingdom. I want my prayers and my words to be effective. And in order for me to do that, I've got to abide. If something is not working out, I got to check up on my abiding. What am I abiding? What am I remaining in? Just write these scriptures down. We don't have time to look at them. Matthew 13, 15. This is in reference to what kind of place the Word of God has in you. Do you have a calloused heart or a hard heart? Matthew 13, 15. Matthew 13, 19. Do you lack understanding? You know, when you don't understand something, you can't put it to use. If I was to give you a machine and I never told you what it did or how to operate in it, do you think you could use it? No. Okay. Matthew 13, 21. Are you troubled and persecuted? You know, when troubles of this life come or persecution from the Word, you know, when you stand on the Word and the world persecutes you for it, they call you, you go to that church, you're that kind of person, oh, you're a name it and claim it person. You know who they're talking about? They're talking about Jesus. He's the one that named it and claimed it. Adam, what are you going to call these animals? Whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be. Name it, claim it. See, when you make a stand on the Word and your family persecutes you, do you realize I had to convince my parents that it was okay for me to go to Bible school because they wanted me to have something to fall back on? I don't plan on falling back. I don't plan on going back. I plan on going forward. God worked it out, though. Because I had a wife who was praying that I'd go to business school as well as Bible school. And it all worked out. See, Matthew 13 is talking about the type of heart that you have. If your heart is messed up, you can't receive the Word. And if you can't receive the Word, it can't abide in you. How about verse 22? Do you worry about life? Are you a worrier? Do you worry about the cares of life? If you're a worrier, guess what? You're not abiding in the Word. You're abiding in your ability to make things happen, but you can't do it without the Word. You want to go ahead and try? Knock yourself out worrying. Worry. Be the biggest nail biter, wrist wringer, whatever. And see if your situation ever changes. See, the cares of this life, what do they enter into your thoughts, and what happens? They choke the Word. And there's nothing that's going to stop the Word from being productive than having it choked. Do you mean something can choke the Word? Yeah. See, because when you're worrying about the cares of life, you're not spending time abiding in the Lord. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this bill? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? If I worried about the cares of this church, I'd be a wreck. When a bill comes in, I say, here, Lord, here's another bill. Take care of it. And you know what? God is faithful. Sometimes he just wants to see if you're abiding in him. Or are you going to be moved because you have a bill that comes in and it's due tomorrow? You think God frets about time? You think God didn't know what you needed before you asked? But see, the problem is you're spending more time worrying about that thing and not talking to the Lord or not trusting the Lord or not building your faith. So therefore, that word's not going to abide in you. It's going to be choked and unproductive. And then Matthew 13, 23. When you receive the word gladly and you continue in it, it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. So let me ask you this question. What have you produced with the word? Sometimes we want people to produce things for us for the word. Well, there comes a point in time when you got to start producing things for the word for yourself. Start pray for yourself when you're sick. Well, maybe you don't feel like praying, and that's okay. But do you understand, what are you producing with the word? What are you using the word for in your life? What kind of changes are you making? How are you allowing the word to change you? If someone receives the word, when you put a seed in the ground, where is that seed? It's in the ground. It's abiding where it was put. What's going to happen? Something is going to grow where it was planted. You put it in the dirt, you cover it up. I don't understand how it grows, but I know it does. But here's what we do. We uncover the dirt, we take that seed, we try to put another dirt. And then we uncover it, we take it up, we try to put it over here. It never gets a chance to abide. Therefore, if it doesn't abide, it doesn't grow. If you keep taking up your seed, you're not letting it grow. You got to let it take root. You got to let the word of God take root. It, part of our confession is what God told Joshua, to meditate in the word day and night. When you meditate in the word day and night, what's happening? You're letting that word take root in your heart. And when that word takes root in your heart, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. What's going to happen when it's going to grow? Fruit's going to show up on the leaves. But if it never gets a chance to take root, it will never grow, so you never see the fruit. You know what Jehoshaphat did when he was king? He got the priests and the Levites together, and he commissioned them to teach the word throughout his kingdom. You know what happened when they taught the word in his kingdom? The fear of the Lord fell. You know what happened then? The Philistines started sending him gifts. Oh. If our president would commission spirit-filled, word-based preachers to go and to preach, imagine the change that could take place in this nation. Did you know that Uganda, they were having a tremendous problem with AIDS? So you know what they did? They partnered with the preachers, and they came up with this ABC thing. I forget what it all stands for, but some of it's abstinence. Guess what? They started reducing the number of AIDS because they started preaching the truth. And that preaching, people started to abide then in the truth. Abiding is so important to your faith. How long does it take the seed to germinate? It depends on the seed. Sometimes some seeds take longer to germinate than others. Give yourself time to let God's word germinate or to sprout or to begin to develop and grow. How long does it take an oak tree to become useful for firewood? You know, all you got to be is one crazy nut that holds its ground. And you will turn into an oak tree over time. And abiding in God sometimes takes time. Because sometimes we don't get it the first time. But just because we don't get it the first time, that doesn't mean we shouldn't come the second time. And if we don't get it the second time, that doesn't mean we shouldn't come the third time. What am I saying? You come until you get it. You come until the light comes on. You come until you get understanding. You come until it gets in your heart so much that it comes out of your mouth and it starts producing fruit in your life. But you'll never produce fruit if you never abide. Why is being part of a church so important? Because that's a form of abiding. Too many people uproot themselves without the husbandman doing it. You ever see a tree? Say, whoo, I don't like where I'm planted. I'm going to move over here. There's much more sun on this side. You know, the grass is greener on the other side. Yeah, but you still got to mow it. You know, in Nehemiah's day, after they built rebuilt the temple, they spent 3 hours. The Bible says the people stood for 3 hours and all they did was read the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. How'd you like to come to church one Sunday and say, okay, I want everybody to stand, and we're just going to read through the law? You read Nehemiah chapter 8 and chapter 9 and see what happened. The people rejoiced. Well, I ain't going to, your church is 3 hours, I ain't going there. Yeah, well, let's see what kind of fruit you abide in your life too. And I said a whole lot of things that the Lord is just leading me. I want you to abide in the Word. It is step number one to experiencing freedom. You want to be free in your finances? Abide in what the Bible says about finances. Learn what the Bible says about it. Study people who handled finances. Study Joseph. You want to learn about finances? Study Joseph. He collected 20% over 7 years. And he had so much gathered that he was able to feed other nations. And he charged them a fee to get food. He was a financial genius. Did he do that alone? No. He abided in God. When he was tempted to stray with Potiphar's wife, he said, no, I can't commit this wrong against God. He stayed with it. He stayed with it. Yeah. He was thrown into a pit. He was lied about. He was bought as a possession. He was thrown in prison. But he kept at it. He kept at it. What happened? He was abiding until the fruit sprung up and he became second in command in the whole nation of Egypt. The king put Joseph in charge of all the finances of the country. Joseph was the Ben Bernanke of Egypt. Think about it. And he did that because he abided in God and he let God's word abide in him. How do we know how he worked? The heathen recognized how prosperous he was. You know, we ought to do such a good job that our bosses say, whoo, I don't know what it is about you, but you just do such good work. But if you want to be free, first step you got to do is abide. If you want to be free and you want to learn the other step, you got to come next week. I wish I had more time. But if you abide in me, if you continue in my word, to continue means to abide. I'm not trading in this for nothing. I know that's not good English. It's a double negative, but I don't care. You get the point. I'm not trading in this for nothing. I'm not going to sacrifice my Christianity for nothing. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to continue with it. I don't care how hard it gets. I'm going to continue with it. Because the more, if I continue with it, there's going to become a point in time when God's power is going to hit that place and fruit is going to be produced. And when the fruit is produced, it's miracle. It's awesome. It's powerful. So I'm going to keep at it until the fruit is produced. I'm going to keep making this confession until every one of these seats are filled, because there's going to come a time when God's power is going to hit Palmyra and they're going to be running to this place. I'm going to keep at it. You know, you may think I'm crazy. We're thriving and flourishing. Look at all these empty seats. I don't care about the empty seats. I care about what God says. God says if I put my hand to the plow, it will be blessed. So I'm not taking my hand off the plow because there's going to be blessing coming. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to abide in what God told me to do, and that is to preach the Word of God, to build strong relationships, or to build strong believers. I want to see believers come out of Victory Christian Fellowship that are so strong that they go in and take that strength into the world. And I'm going to keep at it until it happens. Because as far as I'm concerned, I believe all things are possible. And when I have days that my faith isn't as high as it should be, I have people around me to encourage me and help me see the light. but I'm abiding with this thing. I don't know about you, but I made a long-term commitment. And I don't care how hard it gets. I'm not going to talk about how hard it is. I'm going to talk about how powerful God is. That's going to be my focus. And you want to share your opinions? Keep your opinions to yourself sometime, because I'm sticking with, unless your opinion lines up with God's word, I don't care what your opinion is. I know that that's tough, but that's how we got to be. We're living in a day when people trade in their values so easily. I know that this word works. And I'm going to keep working it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep abiding, because I know that there's a harvest coming. Because he said, if you continue in your word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That making the free part is where God's power hits the fruit and it produces. Whew. I could go on, but I'm not going to. So you want to find out steps 2 and 3, you got to come next week and the week after that. This is good stuff, amen? God is so good. Father, may you bless us tonight as we make a commitment in our hearts to abide in your word and not to depart to the left or to the right, but to keep it in our hearts, keep it so that we might observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then we will make our way prosperous and have good success. You know, study that verse, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. If you're not meditating in it day and night, it's not going to stay in your mouth. Why should? And also, you got to observe to do according to all that is written. Then, everybody say then. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. But you got to do the first things first. So, steps to freedom. Amen? I believe that when we get done with this, we're going to have such an atmosphere of freedom in this place that when people come to praise and worship, they're going to be free to express themselves. Amen? You're going to be so free, you can run around this building. You can jump, you can shout, you can do whatever's in your heart to express your love to God. Because, let me just tell you this, to be free, one word, there was one definition of freedom that I really liked. It said, unrestrained. Woo, anybody want to be unrestrained in your finances? Unrestrained in worship? I want this place to be unrestrained in worship. We need to break out of some things. Amen? Well, in order for us to break out, we're going to have to do some abiding. That means we might have to have longer worship. That means we might have to have longer services. I'll have to perform a miracle. I'll have to get a watch, and I'll make time fly. I'll throw it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us to do this. I'm fired up. So you got a choice to make. You can abide in your limitations, or you can take the limits off and abide in God and watch the fruit be produced from it. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. And don't forget, if you have an offering or whatever, you can put it in the container in the back.